Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 10, The Next World is Over, but we're just getting started here on the second episode ever of The Walking Dead Book Club. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Winger. I'm joined here by my great co-host who is going to turn your podcast situation from scary to hunky-dunky, Jessica Leese. Jess, what's up?
Oh, I'm just totally hunky-dunky.
Yeah.
Got my sorghum pellets.
Yeah.
I'm all set for the evening.
Yeah, are you soda or pop, Jess?
I grew up pop,
right.
But the second I moved to the East Coast, I'm like, I'm fitting in. People are not going to make fun of me. I'm going to use soda. And so I've been soda ever since.
Have you been made fun of for pop before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What is that like? What do people say?
I don't know. They're just like, that's not what it's called. Uh-huh. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why don't you go down south where everybody calls it a Coke?
Right.
And see, that's why Daryl was confused.
Yeah, he thinks that everything's a Coke.
Yeah, everything's a Coke in Georgia.
I feel like soda and pop could unite against calling it Coke.
That's what I'm hoping for. Like, I want these two factions to come together and declare war on the Coke.
Yeah, I think that we could, you know, the soda could be Alexandria, the hilltop can be pop, hill pop, and we will unite against Negan's Coke.
Yep. So does that make the kingdom, like, tonic?
Yeah, but now we get into the question of tonic water versus seltzer versus club soda, and that's a whole other to-do.
Yeah, we could be talking about that for hours.
We could be there for a while, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about episode 10 of season 6, The Next World, Walking Dead. Huge, huge shenanigans to discuss this week in the book club. If this is your first time wandering into the Walking Dead book club, well, first off, hello, welcome. This is fun. This is only the second time we have done this podcast here on Post Show Recaps. It's a brand new podcast that we are doing to support our Walking Dead content here. This is the place where we are going to be talking about the show from the perspective of people who also read the comics on which Walking Dead is based, by Robert Kirkman and Charlie Adlard. So, huge spoiler alert, this is going to be filled with spoilers of things that may or may not happen at some point in the future, because the comics are kind of really different from the show, and things don't always line up, but we will be talking about things that we know do happen in later issues of the comic that probably will pop up on The Walking Dead, maybe this season, maybe in seasons further down the line. Either way, proceed with caution. That's your only warning. Now let's get into the meat of it, because Jess, after last week, after No Way Out, which I thought, you know, we had tons and tons to talk about in terms of where that episode fit in alongside the comics, I was kind of wondering if we were going to get a very comics heavy conversation for The Next World. It's going to be a Rick and Daryl road trip. I don't know if there's too much to talk about with that, because it's Daryl and he's not from the comics. But lo and behold, this is a very interesting episode for us to talk about for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. This is, well, we get the introduction of the next major character from the comics.
Yeah, it is. Jesus has arrived. We are letting Jesus into our hearts.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we found Jesus.
It's good. You know, I feel like it's a good thing to find Jesus in the world of The Walking Dead. So yeah, he's a major character from the comics. We've been waiting to see him show up for a long time, played by an actor named Tom Payne. He seems like a really great fit for the character. I'm curious to get your take on him. But I think that the major number one headline, which is surprising that there could be a bigger headline above Jesus, is Rishon is no longer fan fiction, Jess. This is real. It's happened.
Yeah, Rishon is officially bigger than Jesus.
Rishon is bigger than Jesus. Only in the world of The Walking Dead could that be true.
Yeah, it's very true. And, you know, let me tell you, nothing is more insufferable than a fan base the day after their ship becomes canon.
So what have you observed from the Rishon people today on the morning after? We are recording this on Monday night after the episode aired on Sunday night. Have you noticed a wild fan base today?
Oh, a wild fan base appeared, yes.
Yeah.
They are all very much "I told you so."
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even in the comment section on Post Show Recaps, user Wild Orchid, who chastised Rob and I during our feedback show for not buying into the Rishon thing, just had like a real great smug comment, which I applaud. You know, take it when you can, of just being like, oh, I kind of feel like I shouldn't say I told you so, but I totally told you so. So there's definitely a little bit of glee going on right now. But this is a surprise to us as well. I mean, to talk about it from the comic perspective, in the comics, Jesse dies. All of that happens. A little bit of time passes. I think something like 6 or 7 issues pass after that. And Rick does indeed, get closer with someone from his original crew, someone that he's been, you know, friends with and warriors with alongside for several issues and, you know, years at that point in the comics. But it's Andrea in the comics. Andrea is dead on the show. That was not going to happen. So instead of Andrea, that role goes to Michonne. And Rick and Michonne on the show, that is a huge, huge, huge departure from the comics. So I'm just curious, Jess, just on the surface, what are your thoughts about this pairing?
Well, I don't actually mind it that much. Now that it's a real thing, I'm totally cool with it. It was incredibly hot in the moment.
It was really hot.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just thinking, I mean, they must have had a good enough time. I mean, they saw Jesus. How often does that happen?
Yeah, someone on Talking Dead, I didn't watch it yet, but I read that there was a joke of like the sex was so good that they saw Jesus.
Yeah, I thought maybe he just like showed up. He's like, hey, I heard someone screaming my name. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't think that he showed up for the show, considering what we know about Jesus from the comics.
No, he's no Eugene in that regard.
No, I don't think that he was particularly interested in what was going on in the bedroom.
No, definitely not that particular bedroom.
But Walking Dead doesn't really do sex scenes super often, and it's definitely, it's got to be a strange thing. I don't know if you were reading any of the interviews with Danai Gurira and Andrew Lincoln about what it was like to film those scenes, but they talked about a little bit of sort of like the giddiness and the awkwardness, and you got to just imagine that being friends and colleagues for so long on a set like that and now having to shift those characters into that place would be pretty uncomfortable. I think they sold it really well. I bought the chemistry in that scene. I thought that whole final scene of them, bonding over the Mentos, the fresh maker, and transitioning from that into just like straight up couch makeout time, I thought it was good. I thought that they played it well.
Yeah, it seemed very organic, and in the moment I was like, that it can't possibly happen. Like, they're just going to brush hands and they're going to look away coyly. Oh no, that's not what's happening now.
Yeah.
But good for Michonne for getting some, good for Rick for getting some. I like the pairing. I think it's going to last a while.
That's the question, and I know that a lot of people are wondering about this too, because in the comics, Rick and Andrea, they get together and that's the real deal. They are together through this recording. They are still an item in the comics more than 150 issues into the thing. So that's a relationship that has lasted so far about 40, I think something like 60 issues almost at this point. So do you think that Rick and Michonne, this is going to be a relationship that goes the distance? Is it going to follow that arc with Rick and Andrea from the comics?
I don't necessarily think so, just because Michonne has such cool stuff to do in the future. Like, I think it's not going to be one of these traditional, like, blended family things, to quote our illustrious other Walking Dead podcaster.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to be more like, I think they're going to be very attracted to each other. I don't see them having some kind of fight where they hate each other, but I know Michonne has her own journey to go on.
Right.
And I could certainly see them parting ways and coming back together. And I think that could be a very compelling story as well.
Well, so I was reading some of the comics today just to kind of refresh my memory. It had been a while since I had run through the comics and gone back to, older issues. I've really just been reading month to month for probably about 2 years now, and I haven't revisited any of the older stuff. But I wanted to read the issues past Carl getting shot in the eye to just see a little bit more, just to really remember what we were going to get on the show, if we were going to get that stuff on the show. There's about like 5 issues or so after the whole incident where Jesse dies and Carl gets shot that happened, that seems like that's all just been kind of yada yada through with the time jump that took place in this episode. And one of those things is, sort of the build up to Rick and Andrea becoming an item. There's a little bit of a courtship. Those two are getting closer together. It's not an obvious romance until you kind of put the pieces together once they finally kiss and everything like that. But after that kiss happens, I'd forgotten that there there was like a little bit of awkwardness afterwards. I kind of thought that that was just, you know, sealing the deal. Rick and Andrea are totally cool from that moment forward, but it takes another 4 or 5 issues for Rick and Andrea to finally get comfortable with the fact that, yeah, I think we're going to be a couple. So I guess, you know, kind of coming out of episode 10, I was thinking that Rick and Michonne were probably just going to be locked in and everything was going to be fine. But there's precedent in the comics, at the very least, for this to take a little while before it, you know, solidifies into anything concrete.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things I liked. I didn't always love the way that Kirkman wrote relationships, especially because he wrote so many of them. Like, when they were at the prison, like, all they ever did was have sex.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's right.
But I did like that, you know, it wasn't always like they kissed and then it was happily ever after. Like, none of his relationships are like that. Glenn and Maggie weren't even like that, and they're kind of like the power couple.
Right. Yeah, no, there's a lot of, you know, they try and make it work, and then Abraham decides to cheat on Rosita and be a total asshole, and just, like, things like that happen all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and we don't need that. It's not a daytime soap.
It's not. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, one of the big differences between someone like Michonne and Andrea is put through the ringer in the comics. You know, she loses Dale, she loses the kids, she's lost her sister, she goes through a whole lot, but she's not, you know, naturally an introverted person, I don't think. You know, she's definitely more of an extroverted character than Michonne is in the comics. I think Michonne has been an extrovert on the show in a way that's more focused than in the comics. I think that she's a lot more brooding in the comics. She's had moments where she's brooding on the show, but she's definitely, you know, she's cracked a lot more smiles and laughs and jokes on the show than she does in the comics. But there is that sort of, you know, closeted side, that side that she's, you know, not allowing herself to be totally emotionally vulnerable around people, that I think could be interesting in terms of a different way that the dynamic is going to play in this relationship between Rick and Michonne. And I think that just because it's a happy-ish ending, at least as of now, for Rick and Andrea in the comics, I don't think that we should, you know, be banking on the fact that Rick and Michonne is going to be a thing that goes the distance on the show. Especially, as you mentioned, there's lots of cool stuff for Michonne to do in the comics that I would love to see on the show that very much don't involve Rick, that I hope we do not miss.
Yeah, like, I hope this doesn't mean we don't get Ezekiel.
Right, yeah. We were talking about that last week, like, we need to get Ezekiel and the tiger, and that was one of my first reactions. I was like, oh no, what happens to Ezekiel?
Well, I don't know. Sasha's single.
Sasha's single for now. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah. Well,
who knows? Who knows? There's this whole time jump that we have no idea. But hopefully a Rick and Michonne romance doesn't leave Ezekiel, you know, relegated to comic book land. Hopefully the show is still willing to go there and do the ridiculousness of having a tiger on The Walking Dead. What if it's a love triangle? What if it's a Rick, Michonne, and Ezekiel love triangle?
I'd be down with that. Like, although I don't know how you could even, like, how is it even a question? You have boring, has to be in charge of everything, Rick Grimes, and you got a dude with a freaking tiger. I'm definitely going to bang the dude with the tiger.
I am also going to bang the dude with the tiger. It's really not a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does this up anything for you with Rick? I know that you're not high on Rick to begin with. Does this make him a more interesting character now that he's paired off with Michonne, or does it not really change anything for you?
I mean, it's more interesting to me than Andrea. Like, I didn't think, like, I felt like, honestly, in the comics, and maybe this is just my having seen the show first, coloring everything, like, Andrea didn't strike me as that compelling of a character.
In the comics. Yes.
I thought her arc ended just great where it did on the show, and I liked the way they kind of doled out the parts of what happens to her later. Like, they give a little bit of that to Sasha, they give a little bit to Carol, and they give a little bit to Michonne. I thought that worked out very well.
Yeah. This is something that Scott Gimple, the showrunner of The Walking Dead, has been saying in interviews, you know, following this episode. He's been asked by, you know, The Hollywood Reporter and Entertainment Weekly and anyone else who's got a line on this guy. They've been asking, like, is Michonne taking on Andrea's story from the comics? And he has said that Andrea's story from the comics has been divided up, that it's a bunch of different people that have been playing out pieces of Andrea's story. So let's try and do the autopsy on that. Obviously, Michonne's, you know, she's together with Rick. That's a big story of Andrea's. You mentioned that there's aspects of Andrea in Sasha and Carol. How do you see that? How do you see Sasha and Carol having pieces of Andrea's story?
Well, I see Sasha as having falling in love with someone who gets killed by cannibals.
Right. That's a big
cannibals
one.
And or meat taintedness.
Right.
That's a big one. And I see Carol is kind of taking over that role of kind of the tough chick in the group.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't have that for a while until Carol stepped up.
Right.
And Andrea was shaping up to be that, and then she kind of got shunted off to go and bang the governor for a while, and then her story kind of stalled out.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being so shocked when they killed her on the show, because I was like, wait, but it's the Rick thing. Isn't that supposed to be a thing? So I guess not. And the other thing that Sasha has also is, like, she's, like, the badass sniper. Although I guess Carol has that, too. I forget Terminus so soon.
Come on, everybody on this show is an amazing shot.
It's really ridiculous. It's pretty wild. Yeah. How do you think Carl is going to react to this? What should we expect from Carl's reaction to the Rick and Michonne pairing?
Oh, I think Carl's going to love it.
Yeah.
Because I think Carl and Michonne is, like, one of the best dynamics on the show. Like, the way they kid around with each other is something that nobody else has. And I think he was probably always kind of secretly wishing for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Rob has talked about this with me on some of these podcasts about how he thinks that Carl is going to be, he's going to be eked out by it, that, like, he had, like, a sibling-like, you know, relationship with Michonne. I feel like Carl will be good. I think Carl's going to be able to handle this.
Yeah, he's a mature guy.
He's a mature guy. He was doing fine in this episode, too. I know some time has passed, but he was mostly okay.
Yeah, I'm glad we skipped over the whole thing where he couldn't remember anybody.
I know.
That was so stupid.
I love the Walking Dead comics, Jess, but there are some horrible subplots in those books.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen when you're running up to, you know, 150 plus issues. It's just going to happen that there's going to be a lot of talking heads, a lot of uninteresting conversation, and some really whacked out subplots every once in a while. And that was one of them. That was one of my takeaways from reading these issues today was, I think it was a really good choice to do the time jump. I think that skipping ahead 2 months is what Danai Gurira said on Talking Dead. Scott Gimple's being a little more vague. He says about a few weeks. But I think whatever the number is, I think that skipping away from Carl's recovery, any sort of extra courtship between Rick and Michonne, we didn't need any of that. So I think that the time jump was probably a good thing overall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And can we just say, Kirkman doesn't know how to write children at all?
No, he's horrible at that.
Like, I love that any time someone's parents get killed and they live with new people, it takes them 3 days and then they're calling the new people mom and dad.
I know. Yeah, that's one of the worst things in the big, big time jump that happens around the 130s, I think, or maybe even the 120s of Walking Dead, the big 2 year time jump when Carl is just suddenly calling Andrea mom. It really skeeved me out. It just did not feel natural at all.
Yeah, it's really horrible. And, you know, Sophia in the comics is kind of the same thing. Like, and she says, it's because I like to pretend. I'm like, no child in history have ever has said that.
Yeah. What do you think of the choice to do the time jump in the comics? This is just a little bit of a sidebar, but we didn't get on this last week. I know that this is a really big topic that we're probably going to be running up against at some point in the next couple of years on the show. I assume that they will do this. Were you surprised by that? Did you like that when you got there in the comics?
Yeah, I did. And I thought, actually, that one, my thought with that was, clearly, he's thinking about what this is going to look like on the TV show.
Right.
Because he realizes that if there's going to be a Carl on the TV show, Carl's going to have gone through puberty by this point, and he's going to need to do something about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think on the show, it probably, I don't know if it's been following real time or anything like that. I don't know that it's been 6 years on the show, but it's been a couple of years. I think that, it's not like Game of Thrones, which is kind of a slower crawl, and it really, you don't know why Bran is so freakishly tall or something like that. I feel like there's a little bit more of a built-in excuse on the show with a guy like Chandler Riggs, who is getting older, but that time jump is really going to save things probably 2 years from now, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say as soon as as soon as we wrap up the Negan stuff, which is probably going to take all of next season, then I think we're going to see the time jump.
One more thing on timing in terms of the pairing of Rick and Michonne. I think if you go back, if you look at a lot of the episodes where Rick and Michonne were having screen time together, and if you re-examine a lot of those conversations, I do think that you're going to find evidence for this pairing. Like, it's not a thing that comes out of the blue. I think that it's in the writing. I think it's in the performances. You can really spot that stuff, especially now that we know it's a thing. My question for you is, in terms of the pacing of the episodes, one of the big questions has been, should events from the mid-season premiere have been involved in the mid-season finale? This is something that's been hashed out by a lot of people. You and I talked about it a little bit last week. Should it have ended on Carl getting his eye shot out and the Jesse thing happening in the finale? And one thing that I think maybe points in the favor of having done it that way is, do you feel like for, you know, casual fans, deep cut fans, fans of all types and sizes, do you think that it was a little soon to have this pairing happen in the episode right after Jesse dies? You know, allowing the fact that time passed in the world, so he had time to grieve, he had time to mourn, we didn't see that stuff happen, but you got to assume that some of that happened. Regardless of that, do you think the fact that this happened in consecutive episodes and there was nothing more than 1 week separating them, do you think that that's leaving anybody raw, and does it leave you raw at all?
It is a little bit jarring, to be honest. I think the more natural thing would have been to have the first 10 episodes, then have the hiatus, and then come back and like have it be almost the same amount of time passing in real life.
Right.
I think that would have made it feel a little more seamless. And as it was, I'm like, I didn't give a shit about Jesse.
Yeah.
Partially because, you know, as soon as you meet her, you know, she's toast. She's not that interesting.
Yeah.
Her kids are annoying as hell.
Awful.
Like, I was not, that was not a pairing I was rooting for. So it's like, yeah, the sooner Rick forgets about her, the sooner the rest of us can also forget about her. So I was fine with it.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think jarring is probably the right word.
Yeah.
Definitely a little sudden that it happened, you know, in back-to-back episodes.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the shippers loved that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, oh, well, you know, because it's the person he totally belongs with, it's the OTP,
yeah.
It doesn't matter how much time passes. Like, 10 seconds could pass. We don't care. Michonne is a thing now.
Yeah, I think they must have been really happy. It's just like, waste no more time. Don't waste our time. Let's just get this going on. And they did. I don't have any problem with, you know, the amount of time that passes in story. I do think it's kind of, I think that even if it had been, you know, if the mid-season premiere had been the final episode of the first half of the season, and we had just had 2 months off to kind of, you know, wait and, you know, pass some time and forget about The Walking Dead a little bit, and then we come back and a Rick and Michonne thing happens at the end of that episode, I feel like that might have had an impact. I feel like that might have worked a little bit better, but what are you going to do? We're not really here to question that choice too much. One last thing on Michonne from me, and then if you've got anything else, load it up. But if this means, if Rick and Michonne are together forever, inseparable, if their relationship is just fantastic from here on out, if it's hunky-dunky, and that means that we don't get Pirate Michonne in the future, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Oh, yeah. Pirate Michonne is, like, best Michonne.
Yeah. Can you, for, like, the people who just listen to us because they just want to listen to this podcast and they want to get spoiled about random, out-of-context Walking Dead things, can you explain what a Pirate Michonne is? Because it's not enough that she's Ninja Michonne already. She also becomes Pirate Ninja Michonne.
Yeah, it's true. After the post-Negan time jump, we see that, like, all of the different societies have kind of, they have these trade routes established, and they all have different projects they're working on. You know, we have some agriculture, we have trade, we have a blacksmith, and we have Michonne, who takes a boat out and explores the coastline, and she dresses like a pirate while she does it because Michonne.
Yeah. There's like this great, you know, Michonne has been missing for several issues after the time jump, and everyone's kind of wondering, you know, the readers are wondering, where's Michonne? Why haven't we seen Michonne yet? Everybody else in the world has been accounted for at this point. We know where Maggie is. We know what Rick is up to. We know what's going on with Carl, but where's Michonne? No one's really talking about her. And then there's just like this glorious two-page spread of Pirate Michonne, just like, you know, queen of the world on the front of a ship with like these crazy pigtails, her sword at her hip, and she just looks like she belongs in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it is pretty fantastic. And I think they even kind of try to fake you out. Like, couple of people even mention Michonne, like, yeah, I miss her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, did she die? Nope, she's a pirate.
Nope, she's a pirate. Much better than being dead. I will take Pirate Michonne every day of the week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I feel like we got to go there.
Yep.
It would be really cruel to deny Guerrera as Pirate Michonne.
It's true. That might be a quit the show kind of moment.
Yeah. Anything else on Michonne before we move on to our new savior?
I have said everything I need to say about Michonne.
Okay. Well, talk to me about Jesus. Jesus is a new character on the show. Don't call him Paul Monroe. Call him Paul Rovia. They changed the last name. He's Paul Monroe in the comics. They changed that for the show because Deanna's last name is Monroe, and that would get kind of confusing. Everyone would be like, oh, my God, is he a long-lost son? And he's definitely not. It's a Kirkmanism that a lot of people in Walking Dead just sort of share names, and it's really, you know, kind of shrugged at for the most part.
Yeah, and he does it so deliberately just because it's like, well, you know a lot of people with the same name in your real life. Naturally, you're going to run across other people. It's like, no, Kirkman, it's just because you can't be bothered to be more creative.
You think that's why?
Yeah. It's like, whoa, we called this guy Sam. Let's call this guy Sam, too. It's like, no, make up another name.
I think it's a lot of it probably is like, oh, we had a Sam already? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Douglas's last name was Monroe? Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Monroes in the phone book.
Yeah. He's just flipping through the pages.
Yeah.
Just like randomly pointing at a name. I think that there's probably a bit of it is like, well, you know, like 1,000 Jacks in your real life. Why can't there be 3 Jacks in this story? Why can't there be 2 Bens? Why can't there be 3 Bryans? And I get that. Like, I think that that's, you know, if you want to be realistic, that makes sense to me. But I think that it gets confusing, you know, just like I get the, you know, attempt at realism, but it's very confusing to keep track of.
Yeah, from a storytelling point of view, you want to make it easy for the readers before you work on making it realistic.
I think so. So all of that aside, so he's Paul Rovia on the show. He still looks like Jesus. It's one of his first lines. I think, it's one of his very first lines in the comics when he shows up is Jesus has that line where he says, I'm Paul Monroe, but my friends have taken to calling me Jesus. So I was glad to see that they had that still on the show. What was your overall take on the introduction of Jesus to The Walking Dead show?
I was excited to see him. Like, as soon as I saw a guy with the long hair and the hat, I thought, oh, that's got to be him. Are they going to call him Jesus on the show? Because that was something I found really weird in the comics.
Yes.
It's like, we're just going to call this guy Jesus. Uh-huh. Okay, hey, Jesus, how you doing, Jesus? Oh, Jesus is going to help you haul that trailer. And it was like, okay, that's a little jarring. I'm not sure exactly why it is, apart from the fact that he looks like Jesus.
Right. I think that's literally it.
Yeah, that's literally all of it. But it seemed like, well, you have a perfectly good name and it has fewer syllables than your nickname.
Do you think that we're going to stick with Jesus on the show, or do you think that it may have been enough that he at least gets to say the nickname, they call me Jesus on the show, and then everyone's just going to be like, all right, that's fine, but we're going to call you Paul. And are we going to quickly segue over to Paul, or do you think we're going to stick with Jesus on the show?
Well, that was something I wondered about, just because, you know, middle America, they're going to have a problem with a character that's just called Jesus for no reason.
Yeah.
And even Daryl seemed to have a problem with it. I was like, Daryl, I didn't realize you were that religious.
He had a lot of problems with Jesus.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to call him Jesus.
Yeah. I think that there also might be certain viewers of the show that might not love a character named Jesus who we are going to learn is a homosexual. I think some people there will be like a certain section of Walking Dead fandom that will not love that. I have no problem with that. I think that Jesus is an awesome character from the comic. I think that he's one of the best new characters that's been introduced in recent memory. So I'm psyched to see him on here. Do you think that he has legs? Is this going to be a long-term character in the show?
Well, I think it has to be. I think he's got to be their link to the Hilltop, right?
Right, yeah.
And therefore he's also their link to Negan. He's going to be a major force. I think he's got to be around for at least the next season and a half.
I think that you can make that argument, but then you think about certain characters who last pretty long in the books that they choose to sort of take out fairly quickly. Like Axel is a big example. Like Axel is on the show for 5 seconds. He has an amazing death on the show, but he's in the books for a while. And another one is like Otis, who is, you know, the guy that helps Rick and Shane take Carl to Herschel's farm back in season 2. And he's killed in the very next episode when Shane kind of leaves him to die. And he sticks around for a bit in the comics. And granted, these aren't characters that are of Mondo importance. Like Jesus is a power player. He is somebody that becomes a confidant to a lot of these people. He becomes, you know, a lieutenant to Maggie at the Hilltop later on. So he's a big deal in the comics. But I mean, we have seen the comics and the show diverge in terms of timing of character deaths. So I don't know that he has to stick around forever or even, you know, for seasons. I think that I could see a scenario where he gets us to the Hilltop, he gets us to Negan, and he might not be long for life after that. If, you know, the show, which already has so many characters, if they just feel like we got to trim this guy, I could see it happening. I hope it doesn't, because I really like what this actor is bringing in the role so far.
Yeah, he's really pretty. He's much prettier than I pictured. You know, that I pictured comic Jesus.
Right, comic Jesus is rugged.
Yeah, he's really much more delicate featured.
Yeah, no, he has a gentle face, a face you can trust.
Yeah, I mean, it is very. It might arguably be more Jesus-esque, but.
More of like the, yeah, he's more of like kind of statuesque, you know, like he's definitely something that you feel like you would see in a church.
Yeah, he's like that stock painting that everyone over 90 has in their house.
Yeah, that exact one. That's probably part of how they cast the role.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
yeah.
they had that painting. They're like, all right, well, who looks like this guy? And they found Tom Paine. He's got incredible eyes. I can't even believe those eyes.
You can drown in those eyes.
You really could. They are incredible. So yeah, I like this. What did you think of the way that they introduced him on the show?
Well, I thought he comes off right away as much more of a scoundrel. Like, even though in the comic he's kind of introduced by stalking everybody in Alexandria for an extended period of time and taking hostages, like, this is much more, it's much more Robin Hood-y. Like, he, you know, he tricks them and he steals the van. And this is much, like, it's more playful, I think.
Yeah.
It's less dark. And, like, I thought the entire second half of the episode felt like a Dukes of Hazzard episode.
Yeah. I saw somebody on Twitter, I forget who, talking about, have they edited Yakety Sax onto that chase scene yet? Has that happened?
Yeah,
it was definitely a little goofy. So the way it, for people who don't remember, the way it plays out in the comics is, I believe Rick and Carl, they get into some sort of argument. Carl is having all these issues after he's had his eye shot out, after he has woken up. He, as we mentioned earlier, is missing some memories. He is easily agitated. He is losing, you know, a little bit of his innocence in this, and he's getting into a fight with Rick. And somewhere across the way, a few buildings away, there is a man with a skull cap and long hair and a like a survivor buff over his mouth, and he has binoculars and he's watching, and there's like, okay, so who is that guy? And that's the end of one issue. And then the next issue has, I think it's Abraham and Michonne, who are going out to a nearby town on a supply run, and in comes Jesus wanting to have a conversation. Conversation very quickly escalates to physical violence, where he shows off some of those ninja moves that he showed off in the episode in 610 this past week. So a lot of that is similar in terms of like his combat skills, but you're totally right. He definitely seems like much more of a jerk in the show when he first shows up, definitely much more of a scoundrel, somebody who is up to no good than he appears in the comic outside of that first, you know, one panel that we see of him where he's just like standing on a rooftop and you have no idea what this guy is. But once he starts talking and once he starts, you know, expressing what he's here for, he very quickly seems like a good dude. And we didn't really get a hint of that until the very, very end of the episode with Jesus.
Yeah, it's true. And he still can't be friends with Rick until Rick punches him in the face, right?
Yeah, I think that's got to happen.
Yeah. I mean, Daryl got a punch in, but...
Daryl got a punch in. Rick's got to get a punch in. That's like that's the rite of passage with Rick.
Yeah, that's how you become friends with Rick.
Yeah, he's got to meet your acquaintance with his knuckles.
Yep.
And I think that's likely, considering that where we left things off with these characters.
I think that's highly likely.
That could be like the cold open is like, you know, in the comic, there's this scene, the first time that Daryl and Rick and Jesus meet in the comic, Rick allows Jesus to say his spiel about, we've got the hilltop, we've got this place, we've got this community, there are multiple communities, we'd like to trade with you, you can give us stuff, we can give you stuff. And Rick's like, cool, sounds like a good deal. And then he just knocks him out, because that's the Rick Grimes way. In the comic, Rick does not ask three questions. He just punches you in the face and maybe asks questions later. So I could see some sort of moment like that opening up next week's episode where Jesus is like, hey, I've got this thing. And Rick's like, cool, that sounds great. And then when Jesus lets his guard down, Rick just like face butts him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true.
Hopefully put some clothes on before he face butts him.
Yeah.
That could get awkward.
It could get very awkward.
Do you think that there's a thing on this show as like, is there such a thing as looking too much like a comic book character? I had this problem a little bit when Abraham and Eugene and Rosita showed up on the show, who you only knew as show characters at that point. But when you go and you read the comics and you see those characters, they look so much like their comic book counterparts, like almost, in a, it almost feels like a parody, especially with Abraham's red hair, because Michael Cudlitz is not a natural redhead. And I feel like with Jesus, like, is this costume, is it like too comic booky? Is it too cartoony? Is it too accurate? Is there such a thing as too much accuracy on this show?
Yeah, he looked like he was on his way to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It was a little too spot on.
Yeah, he was cosplaying as Jesus.
And I think more so than the comics, we're going to see him have a little bit more wardrobe.
Yeah.
So that might help things a little bit.
Yeah. I think the hair is going to be interesting with the skull cap, because these people are filming in the brutal heat of Atlanta. You know, you can't get through an interview with one of these people. You can't read an interview with anybody on that show without them talking about how tough it is to shoot because of how hot it is down there. And they've got this poor guy in gloves, in like a gambit trench coat, in, you know, this horrible ski hat that's got to be so sweaty. And I got to imagine that's a wig. So yeah, they're going to need to change some things up with that guy.
Yeah, they'll give him a man bun. He gets a man bun in the comics.
He does get a man bun in the comics. I feel like they can do the man bun on the show.
Yep.
What else did you think about Jesus? Anything else?
I thought it was a great way to introduce him. That was a little bit less, it was a little bit less Gilligan's Island-y.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how on Gilligan's Island, like every week some new guy would show up on the island?
Yes.
And it'd just be like, who's going to visit us this week? Is it going to be Russians? Is it going to be like a mad scientist? And is it going to be Ginger's evil twin? And you just knew that someone was going to show up. And I feel like this is better. They're going to go out into the field and like randomly run into people. That seems a little more organic.
Yeah. No, I thought it was good. Did you take issue with Rick and Daryl's road trip the way that Rob took serious issue with that road trip? He was not a fan.
I like it whenever anybody goes on a road trip, to be honest.
Just generally.
Just generally.
This is kind of your thing.
Yeah, like they could just have a mini like set of webisodes where they just take two random characters and send them on a road trip.
Yeah. Not a 1 minute, you know, episode every week. In the commercial breaks, if we can.
Yeah, taking place on a plane. No, not that.
The worst.
Yeah.
The absolute worst. Let's talk a little bit about some things that may or may not have happened in the time jump. So, you know, a few weeks, maybe 2 months have passed since the last episode when we picked things up in this episode. We don't see every single main character in this episode. And I think that, you know, I'd love to hear your take on what you think are some of the interesting storylines that might be hanging out there. The big one for me is Abraham. You know, Abraham and Sasha are starting to get close by the end of the first half of season six. We've been watchful for that. We think that Abraham might be betraying Rosita at some point in the future. We know that this is a thing that happens in the comics. He cheats on Rosita with a woman named Holly in the comics. Do you think that with this time jump, what's the status of that love triangle? What's your prediction there?
I think we've written out most of the love triangles and most of the psychodrama that happens there. I don't think we're going to get it. I think we've gotten enough sex for the entire season.
That's
like
it.
Any sex that happens after this is going to be a letdown, right?
I think it's going to be tough to beat. It's going to be tough to top. But I could see in the next episode or two that the new status quo is Sasha and Abraham are together. And this is a thing that is either known or it's a secret. And Rosita's going to have her great moment from the comics where she just like says, by the way, Abraham, F you if you think that I don't know what you're doing. Which is a great Rosita moment where she's like, you're the worst, Abraham, and I totally know it, and F you, and you're just a scumbag. I feel like that moment could be coming up on the show, or maybe it's already happened. But I feel like we got to probably be putting, you know, I don't think that they're just setting up Abraham and Sasha for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know how much Sasha was buying into that.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw Abraham taking his shot, and Sasha was just like, eh.
So you think you're going to get that.
I think she might still have some, Bob feelings.
She's good. Yeah, she's still into the Bob thing. I miss Bob.
I miss Bob, too.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's possible then that, you know, I feel like we'll at least see more advances. You know, I don't think that Abraham is done coming after Sasha. I don't think that it would last long. I think that whether he gets Negan'd out, if he's, you know, going to be the guy that fills that spot, or if he gets an arrow to the back of the head, I do feel like we will lose Abraham at some point in the next few episodes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's no reason not to make him a disgusting creeper in the meantime.
Yeah. They could do that.
They could totally do that.
He could one up Eugene in the creep department.
Totally. Well, it's a different kind of creep.
They
could be like, Eugene could still be the creep wingman because Abraham could just go around hitting on anything and Eugene could just hang around and watch whatever happens.
That sounds like the worst person on the planet, the creep wingman.
Yeah.
what a terrible person.
Yeah, and I love Eugene. I want better for him.
Yeah, I hope that he can rise above being the creep wingman. Eugene seems like he's doing really well in this time jump. He seems like a much more confident person. He's giving Rick and Daryl instructions on sorghum. Be on the lookout for sorghum. We can make lots of stuff with that. We can turn this situation from scary to hunky-dunky. So as a huge Eugene fan, you were probably not getting a creep wingman. You weren't getting those vibes from him. You were getting good vibes from Eugene.
I was getting productive Eugene.
Yeah.
Like, productive, knows a lot of stuff Eugene. He's not quite at I know how to make bullets Eugene.
Yeah.
But he's getting there.
Are we going to get there on the show, you think?
It seems a little far-fetched. I thought it seemed far-fetched in the comic, to be honest. If we get nut-biting Eugene, I'm going to be happy.
You have to refresh my memory because I know that happens. But what was that again? How does that play out?
There's a point at which Abraham and Eugene are taken prisoner by Negan's people.
Right.
And they're taken to the gates. And the assumption made by the Negan biker gang is that we're going to kill these guys if you don't come out and talk to us. And instead of killing them, Eugene, he's on his knees and he's got a gun to his head. And he just, like, cranes his head around and chomps on the guy's nuts. And it's like his first real moment of badassery.
Right. Yeah. I feel like you got to have that on the show. That's too good to not have on the show. Like, I feel like anytime the show has had an opportunity to adapt like a big moment of ridiculous violence like that, they've seized it.
Yeah. They're not going to gloss over that one.
So that could happen this season. Wow.
Yeah, conceivably. Because I think that was kind of, I can't remember what the chronology is. I want to say that happens before they head out to Hilltop and Glenn gets Negan'd.
Yeah. Well, if Abraham is in the picture, that's got to happen pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah, he dies cuz Abraham dies before Glenn, right?
Abraham dies basically at the start of the arc that ends in Negan being introduced and killing Glenn. Like, that's the first big shock of that run of, I think it's about five issues or so.
So
that would be, I feel like that's a home stretch type of thing. Is Abraham, he's alive when Eugene does the nut bite?
They're both there, and Eugene saves the day by biting this dude's nuts.
That's amazing. God, can't wait for that on the show.
I gotta imagine that's coming.
That's gotta be coming. What else did you pick up on from the time jump, or any characters that you've got an eye on in terms of who we didn't see or who we did see?
We haven't seen any Carol.
Yeah.
I miss Carol. She's my favorite.
Yep.
We haven't seen Morgan.
Yeah. And that's a dynamic that's really, you know, been kind of fraught recently. So you got to wonder what that's going to be like when we come back.
Yep. And we haven't seen Aaron. I love Aaron.
No Aaron.
No Aaron. No Tara.
No Tara. Well, we heard about Tara.
Yeah.
Seems like things are going well with Dr. Denise.
Yeah, they seem to be, apparently they're living together now.
Yep, so that's great. No pop for Tara, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, but that's all right. I think she'll live. She's having those pregnancy cravings.
Right.
Because that actress is so hugely pregnant, they're not even bothering trying to hide it.
Is that right? I haven't looked it up, but that actress is pregnant, you think?
Well, you notice how she's always wearing that hoodie with all the stuff in the pockets?
Yep.
That's what they're trying to cover up, but they're not trying very hard.
Sonequa Martin-Green, who plays Sasha, was pregnant during filming of the second half of season 5. I don't know if you knew that or if you noticed any sort of tricks with Sasha.
Well, she's pretty willowy to begin with, and she had Bob's jacket on the whole time.
Right, so it's a very flowy jacket that they can use.
Yeah, that was probably easy enough.
Yeah. All right, well, perhaps it's good news for Alana Masterson.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great news for her.
That'd be nice. Yeah. No Glenn this week.
No Glenn.
So I wonder what that means. You know, we are on, you know, Lucille watch. You know, we are waiting to see who Lucille lands on, the leading candidate, the undrafted, because it would be unfair, Glenn. Do we think that does this bode well for Glenn, that like they wouldn't have Glenn in one of the episodes that would have been one of his final 7 episodes? Does it bode well for Steven Yeun, or is it, you know, neither here nor there? Is it bad that we don't see him in an episode of The Walking Dead when he could be dying in the next, you know, 7 or 6 episodes?
Well, I think if they're trying to tell the story in an organic and logical manner, they're not going to shove Glenn down your throat for the next 6 episodes only to take him out at the very end. It's like, hey, remember Glenn? You guys got to make sure you care about him a lot, because, you know, if something happened, it'd be really bad, right?
Yeah, it's not like they tested that reaction before already and everyone rioted.
Yeah. I mean, they know how much Glenn is logical to continue to include, and we'll get that much Glenn up until we don't get any Glenn anymore.
Yeah. So have you read any other Robert Kirkman comic books, Jess?
No, I have not.
But I
saw there was one that Carl was reading in the woods.
Yes. So this is a fun Easter egg for people who are fans of Kirkman's work. Carl was reading, I believe that they have had some references in the past on The Walking Dead, The Astounding Wolfman, which is a very underrated Robert Kirkman comic, I believe drawn by, I want to say, I'm getting it wrong, I want to say it's Josh Howard, but Josh Howard is a different guy. It's a good comic. It's a really fun comic that you should track down. And in this week's episode, Carl was reading Invincible, which is Robert Kirkman's superhero comic about basically kind of like some cross between a Spider-Man and a Superman type. He's like Superboy, if Superboy was sort of like the big deal superhero of his world. Very fun comic book. Shocked that it hasn't been adapted yet. That feels like it's only a matter of time. But that's always a fun thing to look for on the show. Like in the early seasons of The Walking Dead, Carl had a t-shirt that was an Easter egg for a character from Invincible named Science Dog. And Science Dog is a comic book character within the Invincible comic book. And all of these comics apparently exist in the universe of The Walking Dead.
That's really awesome.
It's very meta. Very meta stuff. What did you think of some of the non-comic stuff from this episode? Just overall, did you like the story with Rick and Daryl? You know, outside of sort of the, you know, the Dukes of Hazzardness of it all, was it cool to see Rick and Daryl back together?
Yeah. And I feel like we were not getting enough Daryl. I don't think there's any amount of Daryl that's enough Daryl.
Yeah.
And I like the way he and Rick play off of each other, because I think he brings out something in Rick that's more interesting than Rick normally is.
Yeah.
And I thought also the whole Woods subplots got a little tedious, but I was happy to see Deanna again.
Yeah, that was a surprise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it makes sense when you think about it, because in the comics, they do have that moment where they see zombie Jesse, and everybody's like, yeah, get that out of here before Rick sees it.
Yeah, that's a great moment where they're like, ugh, someone take care of that, please, immediately.
Yeah, so you knew at least one of the people that died was going to come back.
Who did you think it was going to be when, you know, Carl and Enid are in the woods and they see someone? So you know it's going to be someone we know. Did you think it was Deanna, or did you think it was somebody else?
It was Deanna shaped, so I assumed it was Deanna.
It was Deanna shaped? I wasn't noticing the shape.
Yeah, it was Deanna shaped. Okay. So.
Yeah, so there was some Deanna action there. That was fun to get her back, looking for some brains or grains, as it were. It was a good scene with Spencer, who is not my favorite character on this show, but I thought it was decent development for that guy.
Yeah, and at least, like, you know, Michonne has pity on him.
Right, yeah.
It's like, no, you're part of our family. We love you. We want you around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Spectre, we definitely watch it. It's Spencer! You don't even know my name. Oh, man. That guy has, you know, we could talk about who has a date with Lucille, but Spencer totally has a date with Negan's machete at some point in the near future.
Yeah, or he has a date with, like, a surprise walker out of nowhere.
Yeah, something that family line, the Monroe family, is not long for this world.
No, they're going to be extinct.
I think so. Anything else from this episode that jumped out at you?
I think we've covered all of the main story angles.
I think so. Yeah, it was a good one in terms of I did not know that we were going to have, you know, a lot of comic book content to chew on. But the Rishon thing was a big deal. It's the arrival of Jesus. It's a little bit of a testing of the waters of how a time jump might be received on The Walking Dead, because people really do, you know, you ought to prepare now for the fact that there is going to be some sort of significant time jump at some point in this show's future. I would say probably between season 7 and 8, right? That seems about right.
Yeah, that seems right to me.
Yeah, that, like, season 7 is probably going to be the big Negan War season. They could stretch that out if they wanted to. I hope they don't. I feel like that's a really good arc for one season.
Yeah, they could, even if they felt like it, they could compress it into half a season.
Yeah, I feel like that would be fast. I feel like you really want to get, I feel like you want to stretch out the Negan stuff a little bit, but they could if they wanted to. But I mean, frankly, the show is starting to run up a little bit on the comics. I think that they probably have 2 years safely if they wanted to stick with the speed of the comics, that they would have 2 seasons right now of comic book material that's already out there that they could go through before they start lapping the comics. And by that point, you got to imagine that there will be at least another season's worth of content. So I think that they're set through at least season 9 or 10 in terms of stories to adapt from the books, which is certainly a lead that I'm sure George R. R. Martin envies quite a bit these days.
Yeah, well, George R. R. Martin brought that on himself.
Yes, he did. We're not here to pity George R. R. Martin. That is another book club entirely. all right, so we will be back next week with another episode of Walking Dead Book Club. We are going to be talking about episode 11 of season 6. It is called Knots Untie. What do you think of that title?
I guess it's okay. It's not... It's not bad.
Knots bad. Knots untie. I mean, there's some fun stuff with Jesus in the comic where they think that they have him tied up, and he then doesn't he just like stand up, and he goes to Rick. He's like, oh, good. Okay, we're at the hilltop already. And Rick's like, you were untied the entire time? He's like, yeah, I got this. I'm Jesus.
He's like, you know, I would have killed you all if I wanted, but I didn't.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe we'll get a fun moment like that on the show next week. That could be good. All right. So follow Jess on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Round Howard. Hashtag time. I feel like we got to go with Creepy Wingman.
I think we definitely do.
All right. So tell us who your hashtag Creepy Wingman is. Tweet our way. Send us questions for the Walking Dead Book Club for future episodes of the show. Easy ways to do that are to email twd@postshowrecaps.com or hit us up with our feedback form at postshowrecaps.com/feedback. In either event, please label spoiler clearly in the headline. That way no one gets spoiled for the people who are screening these emails. We would love to hear from you guys for next week's show. Any questions you have about the comics whatsoever, we will talk about on the show. Other than that, subscribe to what we're doing here on Post Show Recaps, postshowrecaps.com/iTunes for everything that we're doing on Post Show Recaps, Beyond Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, Mo Shows Recapped, all of that stuff. And if you just want to hear our Walking Dead content, you can subscribe at postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. That's it for now. Jess, we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks for having me on again.
Take care, everybody. Bye.